This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
How much better do you feel about the Cubs' depth after yesterday signing of 40-year-old Justin Turner, 1 year, $6 million? What about Chris Flexen? He made 30 starts last year for the Sox.
Yeah, I think that it's a I don't think Chris Flexen is part of the question, but I do think the positional depth improved with Justin Turner getting that 1 year contract. I do think that he can play some first base for an extended period of time. He could probably do a spot start at third base, and certainly he can be a DH. So he also gives you firepower off the bench, one of the things we had talked about not having when we were discussing it yesterday before he signed. So it's good. It's a good signing. It will help. I don't think it solves all problems or really fixes anything, but it's a good guy to have around. And if his ability in the locker room is as good as advertised, that's a great thing to have.
There's nothing wrong with having a guy that's been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I also think it was interesting to hear from guys like Dansby Swanson. Nico Horner was on with the afternoon show yesterday talking about how much they're looking forward to picking his brain, watching his approach, that kind of thing. We're seeing a theme here with Jed. The guys that he has brought in, minus Chris Flexen, have big game experience, have been there and done that. The Chris Flexen thing, it is part of the question, so I'm going to address it. I think what makes sense about it is his durability, and we've heard from Craig Counsell that they're going to use, especially with this Japan trip, a almost opener-type mentality where you're going to see the starting pitchers pitch a couple of innings, but you may see all five or six potential starting pitchers pitch in those games. And because they're reporting earlier, they need additional arms. He's almost like a camp arm or a spring training arm, if you will. And if somebody goes down, it's not a bad backup to have a guy who at least is durable and shows up to work every day.
Yeah, I think that Justin Turner is money well spent. $6 million for the kind of quality depth you get from a veteran like him. He is not only a skilled hitter, but a guy who knows how to talk hitting the way it sounds from Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson. Dustin Kelly, I wonder if he had some overlap with Justin Turner in L.A. We know that Michael Busch spent some time around him early in his career. They had probably intersected during spring training. So there's a familiarity there. And apparently the news is interesting that he turned down a more lucrative offer to come to the Cubs. So there must be a desire on his part. I know his wife is reportedly from Indiana, and so he might like to try to play in the Midwest. This is something that's new for his career. He was in New York, then LA, and then Toronto and Seattle. So this is a he's well traveled, but I think that he's well traveled and he's been around for a while because he's a good guy to have in the clubhouse. He's versatile. Nobody is suggesting that he's there to play 100 games at third base, but he is a guy that has played a lot of games at that position throughout his career. It's not like it's not like there would be a degree of difficulty. You don't want to have to count on that, but he certainly provides some insurance to Matt Shaw, a guy that you want to succeed, you think's going to succeed, but there's no guarantee that he's going to succeed. So this was a smart signing by the Cubs.
It's a great question.
Voice of Zach Zaidman. He's here at 7:45. If you're the Cubs and winning in 25 matters most, what would you be willing to trade to the Blue Jays for Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Who on the major league team would you consider including, and how many prospects?
Well, you have to have this thought exercise. If you do what we do and you are the Cubs and you're thinking about what you want to be this season. But you've got to determine that before you have this conversation. If you're Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts and Carter Hawkins, what do you want to be this season? Do you want to be the best team in the NL Central? Or do you want to be a team that challenges the Dodgers for the NL pennant? And there is a difference there. It affects your ambition. It affects what your willingness to do, what you're willing to give up. If you have circled 2025 as the year to go for it, because you have Kyle Tucker for one season, more than likely, then you will put together a package to entice the Blue Jays to part with Vlad Guerrero Jr. He is that guy. He is a young star. You, at the end of last season, were a team that didn't have any stars. You added Kyle Tucker. Nice start. Here's another guy who could be there for the taking. Would you take Seiya Suzuki and two prospects? Would Seiya Suzuki waive his no-trade clause to go to Toronto so he can play in the outfield and be happy? Maybe. Don't know. This is all hypothetical. But when a guy goes public with his desire to play one more year in Toronto and be open about the fact that they couldn't come to an agreement, this is an invitation for teams like the Cubs to make their best offer. So, Jed, make your best offer.
Well, for all the hand-wringing, if I'm using it right, and I'm sure if I'm not, I'll be told in a minute, about how much the Ricketts spend, and they're in the middle, and they should spend more, and, I mean, Kenny Rosenthal's personal vendetta against Tom Ricketts, that's something that I don't really understand, and you could look into if you're into journalism, and I just question Kenny Rosenthal. We're going to get into that more in a minute. But this is they've positioned themselves, the Cubs have, by staying under the luxury tax threshold that everybody likes to talk about. They're in a position that if they do what Tom Ricketts and Jed Hoyer believe they can do, which is definitely win this division and play in October, we'll leave it at that for right now, we won't have any fun at that, play in October, now you've put yourself in the position to be able to go and do something like we're suggesting. Go get a Vlad Guerrero, but of course, at what cost? But David, like, if the Cubs are where we all want them to be, Seiya Suzuki is going to be a big part of that. So, again, it's just why do the Cubs always have to give up something good to potentially get something good?
Give up something good to get something better.
If we're worried about not being able to retain Kyle Tucker because his number starts with a 4. Bruce says that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the number for Vlad Guerrero Jr. probably starts with a 5.
Well, he said that they offered him $340, a contract worth $340 million, and he said it was not even close. So you're probably right. So the question, it becomes real simple. And I know you want to win right now, but given all the financial constraints and all the lack of movement on different fronts and finishing fourth among four teams that are trying to woo Bregman here, do they want to pay him a number that begins with a 5? Or do they want to see what happens with... So, in other words, it's not that he isn't value and he couldn't come here, but wouldn't you prefer it if you were trading for a guy that you were then going to sign? And if you have no intention, if he's just a rental player, then the price you pay for him is significantly less. The price you pay to get a guy for a year is significantly less than what you would pay for him if he was in your long-term plan. And is their long-term plan impacted by what's going on with baseball economics? And we don't know the answer to that question. But
with it, that uncertainty, would not it make sense if you were going to circle this season as one you want to win?
Like I said, I'm talking about what the value is that you give up for him. So
yeah.
I would not give up one of my, you know, whatever, top eight players, the top players, whoever's the national, like in the top 100. I wouldn't give up a guy like that to get Vlad Guerrero for 1 year. It's a lot. You're asking a lot. But I would certainly make a package that would be presentable enough, and I'd take him for a year. I just think it's like you got a Kyle Tucker problem, right? You already have a guy that you're not willing to pay.
Really, 2025 solution.
Well, okay. I mean, that's the way of looking at it.
It's a good debate.
It's a worthy debate. I'm just saying, I don't see them coming up with a number that starts with a 4 or a 5, right? For Vlad Guerrero, I don't see him doing it. I don't see the Cubs splashing out $1 billion at the end of the year for Tucker and Guerrero. I just don't. I think you'd probably be choosing one or the other, and I'd rather get Tucker.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
There's a lot of questions in there.
There he is, the voice of Tom Ricketts. How about a day after Kenny Rosenthal went after Cubs and Tom Ricketts over the Cubs spending? It was the Four Letter Network's Buster Olney's turn. The Four Letter Network national baseball guy pointed out the Cubs were outspent this offseason by, wait for it, the Rays from Tampa, while the Cubs have a significantly higher payroll, $185 million to $72 million. They're spending nearly $30 million less than they did in 24. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a good question, frankly. I mean, there's got to be a reason, right? But they did not. They made some moves. They brought in some players. They didn't make the kind of splash we thought they would. And the fact is that Tampa has some serious issues. Tampa has all sorts of problems because they don't have a building. They're going to be playing in the Yankees, the Yankees minor league building. So that it's 11,000. So they're trying to do something to make sure they get some people going out to it because they don't have a home stadium this year. The thing that Buster Olney said and that all these guys are kind of concentrating on is that the Cubs have been valued, I think it was Sportico, valued them at $5.4 billion. So, you know, they're spending good money. It's not like they're not spending any money. They have the highest payroll in their division by a mile. But the thing is, there's no team in their division that's worth as much as $2 billion. According to these rankings, they're all in the 1.5 kind of area, 1.5 billion, where the Cubs are 5.4. Now, that's not money in hand, but holy cow, is that a lot of money? And they could afford to pay a lot more. And if you are worth more, you're the fourth highest valued franchise in baseball, shouldn't you have a higher payroll than that? Shouldn't you not be trimming payroll from one year to the next? But that's all just our opinions. We'll see what it looks like.
Concrete costs a lot of money. Okay, they put a lot of concrete into Wrigley Field. I can't believe I'm going to actually, you know, quote unquote, carry water for Cubs ownership with my aunt. This is getting crazy because the Cubs haven't. It is not a one-way ticket to World Series success. And even, I mean, the Cubs were never going to spend as much as the Dodgers and the Mets and the Phillies have spent. That's the latest one, is everybody saying, well, okay, so the Cubs are 12th or 13th in spending, but, like, do you realize how far away they are even from the Phillies? You know, the Phillies have $100 million more than the Cubs, and the Cubs are basically $200 million. That's a baseball problem. Okay, that's not... And Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, saying, I will blow the budget because I want to win. Steve Cohen's in a different economic stratosphere than the Ricketts family, who are also in a different stratosphere than every other regular people. But I don't think you can kill the Cubs over this. At some point, you got to let these guys that they've accumulated over all these years play. I mean, oh, sure. Listen, let's see what happens with Kyle Tucker. Assuming that Kyle Tucker has the year that he wants to have, that the Cubs want him to have, I'll be willing to get upset next year if the Cubs are, well, we're going to offer $399 million. So is that a game? Like, they're suggesting that they played a game with Alex Bregman. Like, they just decided to be in the conversation to appease us and be the bridesmaid, as I like to say. So let's see what happens with Bregman. Let's see next year with Kyle Tucker if they're in the actual conversation, if he's worth it.
You often see these trends in journalism, and it's become open season on the Cubs from a national baseball reporter perspective. You heard from Ken Rosenthal and now Buster Olney. Bob Nightingale's been consistent, and our guy John Heyman has chimed in. And the tone of it is that the Cubs have not spent enough this offseason. And I think with our show, I think we've held them responsible, or I've wondered why you haven't reallocated the resources you save from getting rid of Cody Bellinger. That's been my problem. I'm less fixated on the Bregman miss as I am the Bellinger mistake.
Money dump.
It was a salary dump, and it can't be if you are serious about winning in 2025. That's my problem. Now, I can see why people look at the Bregman offer and they compare it to the way the Red Sox structured it and be very disappointed, and exposes maybe Tom Ricketts for not wanting to go over a certain threshold. Fair criticism. He is the chairman of the Cubs. He should be able to handle that. It's not inaccurate necessarily. It might be out of context at times, but I do think that it's valid. It's you are a big market team, and you got outbid, and you weren't ready to go and use mechanisms like deferrals, and you really haven't explained why yet. So I think that what this is, as much as anything, is it, I don't want to say it creates a mandate, but certainly an opportunity for Tom Ricketts to defend the Cubs. He did it at the convention. Bruce and I interviewed him, and he talked about, you know, the breaking even every year. And
he referenced that in his story, Buster Olney.
And I think that was something that, you know, he talked as much as he could have, but I think you have to follow up now that they missed on Bregman. I'd like to talk to Tom Ricketts again, ask him similar questions, and understand a little bit better why they are where they are in terms of payroll. And you know what? The thing about Wrigley, they did rebuild the neighborhood, and it is a credit to the ownership, but at the same time, that explanation always falls short. They're benefiting from that as well.
Oh yeah.
It's they profited so from that as
and,
well.
And that's and see, that is the thing that isn't tangible when you talk about it. They're looking to break even in terms of the baseball expenditure.
The baseball.
But the value of the franchise is going up by the billions.
And because of the baseball, they're able to benefit from everything around it. And that is profit that's not taken into consideration. So I think more than anything, I'd like to hear next from Tom Ricketts.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That's Bruce's voice. He's here at 8:25. How about our guy, Bruce Levine, Score Baseball Insider, reporting the MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred saying the Cubs are working hard with Mayor Brandon Johnson and MLB Security to tie up some important issues and be eligible to be able to host the 2027 All-Star Game at Wrigley Field. Shouldn't all the Cubs' young prospects be All-Stars by then?
That's a great little add to the question. I love that. Yes, they should, and the Cubs should dominate that infield and outfield. Owen Casey batting third for the National League. We're short on time, but Bruce, if they do have the All-Star game in 2027 at Wrigley Field, they should honor Bruce before the game because he has been dogged on this. He got Rob Manfred to talk about this. Crane Kenny has talked about this. This is more likely to happen than not happen, it seems like. So good for all of the planning, and let's hope it all works out.
Can we find out what the issue is security-wise? Like what they need to do? What are these loose ends specifically?
Shutting down the perimeter of Wrigley Field with ways of blocking streets and being able to do that.
So like the salt trucks that are being used right now would then have something to do in July. Okay, I got it.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
You just asked a question. You didn't comment on it. I think it's time, isn't it? Don't we deserve another All-Star game in Chicago? It's been a long while. It's been a bit of a drought. So, yeah, bring it back. That sounds good. I would hope that some of those young Cub players are All-Stars by that point. I don't know that they're going to load the thing up. But, yeah, I think it would be it would be great if there were an All-Star game in Chicago and the Cubs had some All-Stars in it. I don't know how that works with the White Sox timetable, the 2027. Maybe they got a couple pitchers in the All-Star game by then, but we'll find out. I'm all for it, though. I think it is. It's been too long since we've had an All-Star game, and I think it'd be a great event.
It's a good question.
Chelios, Chris Chelios' voice there. He's with Mully and Haw at 8:44. Joey Gallo spoke at White Sox camp and said he was just hoping to make the team. What are the chances he doesn't, and what is Gallo's ideal role with the Sox?
Yeah, I think he's going to make the team, and I think that his relationship with the manager is probably one of the reasons. It's probably a reason that he came here is because it's an easy team to make, and I think his role will be to supply power and to hit home runs. I hope he doesn't strike out as much as he's done of late, and I hope that that he can kind of recapture some Fountain of Youth stuff. But I liked his comments about the vibe of the guy. You meet certain people in baseball, and you know they were going to be a manager. You know, the guy's a little bit smarter than everyone else, and the guy's got more copped on, and he's looking at the game in a different way, and he's studying it a little bit differently. I thought it was really good to hear from him about a guy that was effectively a manager in waiting when he knew him as a teammate. So I thought that was a good thing, and it's also just a reminder that there is a place for him because he has that connection, has a really good connection to have.
Adam Dunn not available, so we turn to Joey Gallo.
Cheaper version.
I think, and I joked about this before, but now that we've heard Joey Gallo talk, I think this is about the fact that Will Venable is looking for somebody to hang out with. I mean, seriously. I mean, he's looking for somebody that's around his age that he actually played the game with. And listen, we're seeing it with the Cubs. It can only help to have a veteran around. Let's assume that Joey Gallo, despite the strikeouts, carries himself like a professional, prepares like a professional. That's a good thing. It's one thing for Will Venable to say, when I play the game, but now here's Joey Gallo to show you how to do it day in and day out.
Not only that, but if he does make the team as expected, he's a guy that can vouch for the manager to people who don't know him. And that's a big issue. It's not any bigger with Bill Venable than any other first-time manager, but you like to have guys that can help interpret your message or can say, you know what, he's not such a bad guy, or, right, boy, wasn't that interesting. You should have seen him when he was in Texas. All these kinds of things. It helps to have, you know, there's strength in numbers. And the more guys who know Will Venable, the better in that clubhouse, especially with a young team looking for a little direction. And Joey Gallo, despite some struggles at the plate, seems to be, at least his first impression and his reputation is, he's a consummate pro. He's been on some really good teams and some really strong organizations. And now he comes to the White Sox. His biggest value right now, besides the ability to hit the long ball, if he can connect and make contact, is his example.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What do you think of Adam Schefter tweeting that the Chiefs won't apply the franchise tag to guard Trey Smith, but could use the transition tag? The transition tag pays out an average of a top 10 salary at the position instead of top five and allows the team to match any offer the player receives from another football team.
Interesting twist. Not terribly unexpected. They want to have the ability to retain him. I think they want to have the ability to make a decision based on their own budget. And maybe this allows other teams to set the market for a guy if that's the way it's going to work. And it's a risk perhaps, but it also gives them a little bit, buys them a little bit more time. You know, Trey Smith is somebody who, if he hits the open market or if he's even available, the Bears, it should be their number one priority. It should be their top player on the board, because the free agency comes first and they'll make decisions on their own guys. I don't think they're going to get involved in the tagging process this offseason, but Trey Smith transition tag would be something that if you're the Chiefs, you want to definitely do what you can to try to keep a top player.
I think this is a brilliant move by the Chiefs. They're not the only ones that saw the tape like I saw. Trey Smith, like many Chiefs, did not have a good Super Bowl Sunday. So let's see what the rest of the league thinks about you, Trey. I mean, some people, I can't believe people would let one game. Yeah, it was the biggest game. It was the biggest stage. He's been talked about how back up the Brinks truck, pay that man his money, blah, 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 blah. And he was getting pushed into the backfield by linebackers that weigh 70 pounds less than him. So go ahead, Trey. Let's see what the rest of the league thinks. Let them set the price. And that, I think center might be a bigger issue than guard for this Bears team as far as the free agent market goes.
Yeah, there's a guy out there at center, the Atlanta center, if he's on the market, and it looks like he would be. Could be a guy, young guy you could bring in. I got to tell you, I think that I think if the Bears have made Trey Smith a priority, this is good news. Because what happens, even though you get the right to match a contract, what happens is if you have the kind of capital that the Bears do, you just put like a poison pill in it.
Bingo.
And that would be like a big-ass payment to open up the contract.
Because it kills their cap.
And
they want to stay away.
And they don't want to.
And it's a lower average because it's a top 10 rather than top 5.
Yes. So, I mean, this is good news for the Bears.
Unless you don't want them.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if that is indeed one of their priorities in the offseason, they got to get people in here that can play. They got to get guys that can actually play and can be available, and he's been both those things.
Just for the record, you think that Trey Smith still can play, right?
I do. I believe he can play.
All right.
Nobody said he couldn't play. Did I say he couldn't play?
I didn't say you said he couldn't play.
I think I heard him say he doubted whether he could play.
Yeah, he can play at a high level.
I doubted whether he should be paid $20 million based on the fact that his rear end was pushed into the backfield on Super Bowl Sunday more times than not.
Dustin, he's getting paid more than that. That is the reality of where you're at. He's going to make, you know, what is the franchise number? I mean, he's going to make.
Well, it's going to make probably a lot, 25, because offensive linemen include tackles.
Yes. 25 is the franchise number, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
23 is what he makes under the transition tag. It's a lot of money, man.
A lot of money.
You got to wrap your mind around it. But they got a lot of money, and they got ways of getting more.
And the Atlanta Falcons center you're referring to is Drew Dowman.
Yeah, he's
from Stanford.
He's a pretty good player.
Hits the open market. He'd be the center that Dustin has been longing for.
Yep, he's a young guy too. How old is he?
Yeah, he's 26 years old. So his best football is in front of him.
That's what you need. You need guys.
You get
like
Drew
that.
Dowman. You get Trey Smith. All of a sudden, you draft Will Campbell. Boom.
Yeah.
Although, you're back.
You know they. Let's see who's available in the top 10.
I know.
You might have to go with a tackle or an end and then double back and get more. I mean, I agree with you. I think two of their first three draft picks need to be offensive linemen. But I don't know if Will Campbell's going to be there, and I don't know who's going to be there. So you might have to kind of assess things in the real time.
No doubt about it. A lot of time to talk draft. But if Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks are there at 10,
yes.
And you get a rookie left tackle, you get the center from the Falcons, you get Trey Smith, the right guard, you got Darnell Wright, you're talking.
Now we got a plan.
Now you got a plan.
Yep.
Now you got a plan, Dustin.
That sounds good. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.